More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. It's a play that's been performed around the world, but each night by a different actor. Any actor who performs it must have never seen or read it before he or she receives the script on stage at the beginning of the show. There's no rehearsal, there's no director, there are only minimal lights and props. Yet those who have seen Nassim Soleimanpour's White Rabbit, Red Rabbit say it's one of the most arresting things they have ever seen on the stage.
The Iranian playwright's work will receive 8 performances at the Economowoc Arts Center over the next 2 weeks, thanks to Tom Klubertanz, the theater teacher at Economowoc High School. He, along with Brian Mani, one of the actors who will tackle White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, join me in the studio now. Gentlemen, welcome to Lake Effect.
It's a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to see you, Bonnie.
So, Tom, tell me about this play that we can't know anything about.
Okay. This is really
strange. This is really strange, but it's so fascinating.
It's pretty cool. So we are doing a play right now called White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. It's a play written by an Iranian playwright. His name is Nassim Soleimanpour. And this play is very unusual because a new actor performs it every night. The actor must not have read the play. The actor must not have seen the play. And the actor must have never performed the play before. It's done without any rehearsals. It's done without any director. It's done with virtually no set. There's a chair and a stepladder on stage. It's a pretty unique experience in that the audience and the actor and the playwright come together in this very visceral way that I've never experienced before in theater.
You first saw this in Edinburgh, was that right?
I did, yeah. You know, I'm a public high school teacher. I teach at Oconomowoc High School. And our theater program was nominated last year to be a part of the American High School Theater Festival, which every year nominates over 2,000 schools from North America. About 40 to 45 are selected each year to represent sort of the best in high school theater in America. And then those schools are taken to Edinburgh and allowed to perform a play for the great people of Edinburgh and Scotland and the world stage at the Edinburgh Arts Festival, which is the largest performing arts festival in the world. It goes for 3 weeks in every August. And what they do at the American High School Theater Festival is each year prior to the kids going over, the theater director is sent just to get the sort of the lay of the land. And it's really an awesome opportunity to just kind of immerse yourself in that culture and see plays from all across the world. And so one of the plays that I was fortunate enough to see last summer in 2014 was White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. And, you know, I kind of caught my attention because the ad for the play, you know, there's so many plays going on. There's hundreds every day, you know, so to try to find a play to see is even a challenge. But the poster for the play had this sort of beat up stuffed rabbit, and it looked like, you know, something that a child would sort of carry around. There was something about that was interesting to me. I wondered immediately what could this play be about, and so I went to see it with really virtually no information kind of about the play at all, and was just absolutely mesmerized by what happened in that theater. It was for about 70 minutes, probably. I don't know that I took enough breaths to keep me alive practically that day. It was just the most invigorating experience I've ever had in a theater. I've been involved in theater for 35 years. So that was pretty amazing to see. And after seeing the play, I was so impressed by what had happened there. And again, it's difficult because I can't say too much about what I saw in the play. But for the first time ever, I think, I wrote to a playwright. I wrote to Nassim Soleimanpour in Iran and just told him that I was a high school theater director and I had seen his play. And I just had never had a more enjoyable evening in the theater. And expecting that I didn't know that he would even get the email or read it or care to write back. But sure enough, in a couple of days, he wrote back, which I thought was so cool. And we started up a conversation, and it was really great to talk to him about sort of why he wrote the play and what he was intending to achieve through writing the play. And eventually we got around to the fact that, you know, he asked why I was in Edinburgh and what I was doing there, and got around to the fact that my kids were going to be performing in a year. And this kind of created this very, very gutsy ask where I said, hey, would you allow us to bring your play to Wisconsin? Because as far as I knew, it hadn't been done in Wisconsin. So we thought, let's bring it to Wisconsin and bring that to my friends and people that I knew who loved theater in Milwaukee and be able to kind of show them this great piece that I saw, you know, 2,000 miles away.
Well, and then we bring Brian Mani in now because you're one of the people who's going to bring this to life, but you've never seen it or read it, and you can't have. That's part of the deal.
That's true. I'm one of eight actors that will be performing this on eight different evenings or days, eight different times. Tom reached me, was it last summer?
Mm-hmm.
And told me about it. He wrote me an email that said something about rabbits. And I thought he was – because I did Of Mice and Men a few years ago, and I thought he's going to say something about – I had no idea what rabbits. And when he asked me to be a part of this, it took me a few days to decide. Normally, when someone asks me to do a show, during those couple days, I would read the play and contemplate it. This was sort of an act of faith. I thought, okay, do I want to be alone on stage reading something for the first time in front of an audience? He wanted bold actors, which felt like a nice compliment to me to think that I was one of the ones that could do it and do it well. So I said yes after a few days, and I am thrilled and a little bit terrified.
I was going to say the terror for me would be that it's so immediate. You have no place to hide.
No.
And you have no way of preparing yourself other than just being open to whatever you're going to pull out of that envelope.
My wife and I often, from the first time we met, read to each other. And I do the bulk of the reading too, where we read books. If we're on a trip, we read books about the place we're going.
That is so cute.
Everyone says that. Everyone says that.
It's really cute.
But so I've been reading aloud. I mean, my preparation is to get my my eyes and my brain and my mouth all working together so that when I'm reading this play, I can hopefully make some sense.
You know, the other thing you need, Bonnie, to do this, I think, is – I mean, besides just really, really a lot of bravery, which, you know, Brian has in spades. But the other thing that you have to, I think, be to do this – and that's probably true of all plays, but you've got to be a great storyteller. You know, and I think there are those people who are – you know, really great actors, but also really great storytellers. And you just love to kind of hear them talk and hear them, you know,
I'll listen to you read the phone book. It doesn't
totally,
matter.
Totally. Yeah. And I think you have to have that sort of quality with this show.
And I can only guess that the playwright has written this play in such a way that it lends itself to someone cold reading it. I've started to think about, you know, I'm surmising that he probably has written it so that it sort of peels like an onion. I mean, that's what I'm going to find out after my performance or during my performance.
And the other thing that's so fascinating is that once you've performed it, you can't do it again.
No.
So you've got one shot at it, literally, one time. And what happens when, like, every actor in the world's done this play? I guess the play can't be done anymore.
I guess so. You know, yeah. And I think Brian will attest to this. There are actors I know that we both know who have said, this sounds like such a great project. Remind me not to come see it, right?
That's exactly. That, right? I told one of my colleagues at APT, David Daniel, I was telling him about the play, and he was eating it up. He was asking questions, and then after it was all done and we were about to get back to rehearsal, he said, that's fantastic, Brian. It's really great. Remind me not to go. And at first I thought, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And then, of course, it hit me that if he went, he couldn't ever do it. So he's reserving the right to be able to do the play. I want to go see the first performances, but
you can't.
I can't. And so I can only see it after I've done my play. So,
Tom, when you talked to the playwright, did you have conversations about why this particular requirement was put in place by him?
We did. Yeah. You know, Nassim, he's got a really great story. You know, he was a conscientious objector in Iran. You have to, at age 18, you have to serve in the military. And if you refuse to do that, you're not given a visa, you're not given a passport, you're really not allowed to leave the country. And although he's said in several different interviews that this is not a political play, nor is it really written about Iran or, you know, his experiences in Iran, I know that for him, not being allowed to leave his country, he wrote this play when he was 29. So, you know, imagine that you're this young person, you know, you're not allowed to leave your country. And he said that writing the play was sort of his way to leave, you know? He knew that his words would travel the world. And I think that's such a unique and fantastic aspect of art. And I drew so many parallels to that in our kids. You know, we have so many young kids who are being taught every day, you know, you're in a global environment and you're growing up in this small world now because of how interconnected you are. But I have kids who have literally never left Oconomowoc. You know, they think coming to Milwaukee is a journey, you know, is an adventure. And so I thought, how cool, you know, that here we have a group of 35 kids who are going to be traveling thousands of miles away to go perform art. And here we have an Iranian playwright who can't leave his country, but yet used his words and his art to in some way travel the country.
Literally the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many places this has been performed?
It's been performed in lots of places. It's been performed all over the world.
So he did what he achieved or set out to achieve.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the really neat things is that in the play, he gives his email address to each audience. And he says, write to me. Said, I'd love to find out about you. I'd love to know more about this audience that saw my play. So I can only imagine that he gets these messages all the time from various audiences across the world. So in a way, he really has accomplished his objective, which was to speak directly to an audience through an actor without that actor being able to sort of change in any way his message because he or she is not able to, you know, to prepare ahead of time to do that. So I have to kind of take it right there and give it to the audience.
Well, I've always thought one of my favorite forms of theater is reader's theater. You know, somebody's doing a staged reading, which virtually means people are reading the play for the audience. I feel in those situations the play seems more pure. You don't have a set designer. You don't have a costume designer. You don't have elaborate instructions from the director. What you get is an actor interpreting. But even in that situation, an actor and the cast of actors and director have had some discussion about what they want to say and what they want to do. But usually, to me, that is the purest form because the listener really gets the play, gets the words laid in their ear, and they get to imagine everything that is that should be drummed up inside them. It's not pronounced to them with visuals. It's just pronounced to them with the mouth and the brain. And so in this situation, it's even more pure because as an actor, I will not have any interpretation of anything but that nanosecond that the word hits my eye and registers to me and I make sense of it in the moment.
And that feeling is palpable in the audience.
Yeah.
Like you sense that as an audience member and it's invigorating, you know? It really is. It's really different than watching any other play that you ever see when you know that there's been weeks and weeks of rehearsal.
And it must be – and like you said, it must be a powerful – well, I don't know if power is what he's looking for, but it is making the playwright's voice so – dominant and his message clear and as pure as it can be.
And it really changes. You know, when I was in Edinburgh after seeing it the first night, I thought I have to go back, you know, and watch this again. It's so great, you know. And watching it the second time, there was I saw a male actor the first time. He was an artistic director of a local theater in Edinburgh. And then the next time I saw it a couple of days later, it was a female actress. And it was just amazing how it changed even with the gender, you know, switch, how it changed and how things were interpreted differently. And, you know, each actor just has their own nuance and gives it their own sort of twist. And while the words stay exactly the same, the interpretation and the way that it falls on the audience's ears is so varied.
Well, and each audience is different too. And that's
– absolutely.
So, Brian, I have one question before we wrap up.
Yes.
What are you most afraid of with this? And what are you most looking forward – two questions, I guess. What are you most looking forward to finding?
I suppose the fear is that I will lose myself in the narrative because of nerves or because of just that freshness of being in front of the audience. But then I relieve myself of that because I think that is the nature of this whole piece. The nature of the piece is that it is fresh. So I calm myself with that idea. And the thing I'm looking forward to is the thing that makes me love theater to begin with, whether I'm doing a contemporary comedy or if I'm doing Shakespeare or if I'm doing Shaw, whatever I'm up to, it's that relationship between the words, me, and the audience. So I'm looking forward to getting a big shot of that right directly into my arm.
Mm-hmm.
So
hook the IV right up.
Hook it up. Hook it up because there's nothing like that feeling. It's a little like going on a roller coaster.
Or jumping out of an airplane. I was thinking parachuting.
It really is.
Thank you both for coming in and telling us as much as you could about White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. That is a hard one to say.
It is.
It is a good tongue twister. I think you have to work on that
prep.
One.
Yeah.
It's a good prep. So, Brian and Tom, thanks.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Wisconsin actors Brian Mauney and Tom Klubertanz. Mauney will star in the January 23rd performance of Nassim Soleimanpour's White Rabbit, Red Rabbit at the Economowoc Arts Center. Klubertanz works professionally and teaches theater at Economowoc High School. His students will perform at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland this summer, and the 8 performances of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit will raise funds for them to go. There's more information, including a list of the performers, on our website, wuwm.com.
We'll take one last break, but stick around. Texas singer-songwriter Jesse Teresi joins us in the studio next to play a couple of tunes. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.